So we're just going to stick around up here and talk about a couple of plans. And I will just be very honest with you. As I told the leaders, I said, I'm going to need your help today because we're going to actually go through a plan that we've done this the last three times. It's been very helpful. So this is a real life plan. We've got permission from a couple in our midst here. That it's going to allow us to use. They need help. They're at the end of the rope, and I don't know if they're at the end of the rope, but they need help. And so I haven't talked to them specifically. So every time I do that, for the people in the audience that we're talking about, I just want to make sure that you understand that if something's wrong, it's not on purpose, and we've done our homework to try to talk to the leaders and whatever. And so, yeah. So we're going to try to go through this and be as compassionate as we can. So when we have comments from the audience, from you guys, just remember it's always clear when you're not the one on the board, right? And so if you're up on the board, you struggle with it a little bit more. And so one of the things we want to do too, it's a good timing because as we make some transitions here, the 20th is when we're off. Molly, you wanted that date. And then the 27th is when we're back. Okay, so if you want dates. And so I want to ask for your, we're going to make another announcement next week, but we're going to make some transitions. Nothing's going to be radically different, but we are going to make a change because this is an exciting time for us because we're getting closer, you know, not immediately, but hopefully within a year or so to be able to where we roll out and be able to meet all these churches' demands for Prodigal to go outside of Watermark. And you got to realize it's got to work. For us, it's got to work for a church of 35 people in Wichita Falls. It's got to work for all of them, and they'll all be a little bit differently. So we feel like we've got a template that might do that, and that's going to require a little bit of a change. Not everyone has the resources and can do newcomers and open and have a lecture that goes for 45 minutes and all of that. So we think we've got a good template, and we're going to ask you to give us a ton of grace as we make this change. And tell us if it's not working, and we'll work through it. But we think that most of the people that do well here and go out and find joy in the midst of their circumstances and knowing that God's good and you're ready for the next hurdle and you know that your faith has been tested through this fire and you're ready for the next one, not that you're looking forward to it, but for those people, they take ground, they're consistent in closed group, they're open and honest in closed group, and their lives change in closed group. It's just hard to hear a lecture and not have anybody talk to you about it and have your life change like it does when you apply those truths in a closed group setting. So, having said that, we're going to look at some case studies and begin to tell you what it, you know, we hope this is what it looks like in closed group as we go forward. So this is a case study that, when I tell you it's hot off the press, I was doing it this morning at 6:30, so it's hot off the press. So this is a prodigal who from one of our families that was adopted from Romania at 1 year old in 2001. They were good early, just like a lot of our. What makes it so hard is they're not a problem early, and then they were baptized at 6 years old, and then now at 17 and a half. Apparently, she was raped at 12 by a 12-year-old boy of a family friends, and really never dealt with it. Was never honest about it. These are the comments from. I want to make sure a point. These are comments. This is information that we got right off of the sheets you filled out of open group, right? So that's why it's important. We'll sometimes pass that along when you're going from open group to closed group and we can't read it. Now we're going to try one in a dream year. You know, we had a big directional team meeting this week. We would love to actually be able to do that online in a way where we would actually be able to read everything, but try to print as legibly as you can. But this comes right off that. So dating a 14-year-old for 1.5 years and basically the breakup started a meltdown where it was cutting multiple suicide threats. The suicide threats just tell you it needs to, I've summarized most of this and it continues on. And the school kind of released her from school until it was stable. But then she went back in and the school but was struggling with summer and it was always in summer school. And then there was rebellion and coping mechanisms of weight gain. The parents are trying to connect by The mom would have an evening, and then the dad would go out once a month to have a date night. They try to get them to connect through church. They really did try. And these are two, Christians, have been Christians most of their life. They're trying to do the right thing. They're struggling well. They're at their wits' end. She had an overdose on Prozac, but admitted it was a gesture. She knew exactly how many pills it would take on the research search to not be in trouble, and so it turned out that was a gesture. Not to say it could not be a gesture in the future, still serious. And so they've tried increasing counseling and Bible studies and mission trips to really no avail. And now here we are currently in the senior year, and our coping mechanisms, according to the parents, are weight gain continues to be a problem, Netflix 24/7, stealing, and even breaking into lock boxes in the house. One of the things are that they'll take the phone if she doesn't go to church. Recently, the police brought her home drunk, and that's where we are right now. So, I don't have. I just apologize. I don't have a lot of the dad's information. I think there was a going through an illness with either his parents or somebody really close to him right now this week. So I don't have all that information, but the moms filled that in and basically said, she's speaking, I think, for both of them, that the progress, her summary of where they are right now, that was all the stuff I gave you was from Open Group, and that was 10 months ago. And they have come almost on a weekly basis regularly to Prodigal for 10 months. And where their mom summary is, says, the progress has been poor since starting Prodigal. And we work on giving her to God, but I just can't, mom can't deal with her. The consequences are drawn, and we follow them. But there's so many issues come up. There's fighting, and it gets really hard. So we may come back to this. I'm going to go back. I think one slide's out of sequence. So coming off her Open Group, I should have said this earlier. Excuse me for some of being a little bit out of that summary was a little bit out of order. Thank you. So fears was that her prodigal would turn her back on God, that she would. Her fears were that she would get into piercings. She would live with a boyfriend. That she would marry someone of a different culture, not go to college, not be able to support herself. The medical cost may be too much for her if she left the house, I guess. Gaining weight, even more weight, and she won't ever deal with her stuff. Loss of a relationship, and outlasting my savings. And those were all, I mean, very honest. I mean, we've all been there, okay? But I think it's very helpful for you to see, the reason I think this has been so good the last three times we've done this is that I like to get the problems described in their own words. There's a lot of things telling in there. We'll come back and visit a little bit. So that's the mom's story. Does anybody, I'm up against the Lord's leading here tonight because I've written this down. It's a hard case study, and I thought, well, there's not a really easy answer to this one. So maybe we'll look for another one. I went, nope, this is what we're dealing with. Let's just work through it together. There's a lot of things in here people are already nodding to and say, is this my case study? So is there any comments tonight? Any just real quickly, is there any questions or comments? I'm going to keep going. Steve's already done a diagram about this. We'll show you how that might help you. But any comments so far or questions you might have about this? We may have them coming up. We may not. If not, I'll keep going. Larry? There? To their progress. Their progress. Yep. They're frustrated that they haven't made much progress. They don't. And I actually said, what progress are you looking for? And I think what they're looking for is a peace. They are just feeling as chaotic and out of control today. Maybe not quite as much. They've learned it. I think they like where the prodigal, they're gaining on it. But they just feel like they had taken more ground in getting a comfort level of where they are. Yeah. Jenny?
Mom and dad on the
I think as I may get a secret sign if this is right or not, but I think that they are basically on the same page. They're both believers. I think that the mom is a little more frazzled than the husband. And I don't know of the. I'll just leave it at that because I'm not in that group. But I think that's where we are. But they're on the same page. But she's a little bit more out front with the frustration. Okay, I'm getting a positive yes on that. Okay, anything else, Scott? Okay, so that's coming up. So. Do they have a specific plan? Okay, we'll get to that. That's a really good question. Okay, anything else? Yes, sir. Are there any other siblings in the family? There's not. This is they struggled with the I think with the adoption process, and this is the only child. Yes, sir. Besides prodigal, do they have another support system? I don't believe so. Yes, ma'am. I think the mom feels that it's a festering. Yeah, okay. So what they said, if I understood you right, they've gotten some counseling help. Is the rape issue a still festering thing? And I think that, I'm not sure from what I gathered in the stories that I read, they believe it needs to be dealt with, but there's so many other things going on that that's not the thing they think if they go back and fix that, that's going to solve everything else. And so they do believe it's a problem that should be addressed, but they tried to get counseling for it, and I think she minimized it like she's minimized most of the other things. Yeah, and she's not really, you know, it's just like all of our, well, it's not all of our prodigals, but most of our prodigals, we try to get them the help if they just be honest when they went through regen, or honest when they went to rehab, or honest when they went to counseling. You know, you can go to all those you want to, but you got to engage. And so I think that's where they are. Okay. All right. So I'm going to go on a little bit. And we talked about mom's fears. And I think it's really important that we talk about mom's background. I think, to me, it was, because when I saw her, what she turned in an open group, there was a whole lot, and even more than I normally see, a whole lot about her background that she was relating to us. And I think when you see it, it's important. That's why it gets complicated. The mom was adopted herself. She accepted Christ early. Her adopted dad died at age 4. And then she was really close to her mom, who remarried when she was 10, and had her new husband, then had a child at 10, and it felt like that was the preference, and she felt unwanted from that point forward in the family. She married her husband at 37 years of age, a Christian man, and then her mom's marriage ended up in the background, spiraling out of control and ending in divorce when they realized that he had left his inheritance to his family and not to his wife or her. And so again, this rejection thing comes in there as well. So there's a lot of things going on. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So if we don't have any questions right there, I think I'm going to go back and do this. So here are mom's questions for us tonight. These are the only things you have to solve, okay? How many rules, boundaries, and consequences do you give? We literally need 20 for her, and we can't keep track of that many. It's impossible to live life without being emotionally involved. I can be straight-faced, emotionless for 2 to 3 to 4 days, but you can't live that way in a house forever. How do you do it? I would have to continually tell myself I despise her to do that. How do you develop a plan in continually changing circumstances? She's always coming up with something else. What do we do with her? Been there, right? I mean, you can just feel that. I mean, if any group says we got it, it's this group, right? But there's some things in there. We're going to come back to that slide and try to walk through some of those issues. But before we do that, I asked Steve, our resident expert in the diagrams, to kind of, it's a complicated diagram, but we're going to try to throw that up and have him explain to where he got to that point and try to show you why we do these things.
Is it just in sequence here?
It's in sequence.
Here we go. So this is the template of things. Just briefly, the gold is God. Anything blue is a male. Anything pink is a female. We can make it daughter, mom, granddaughter, whatever. Black arrows are usually good instruction. When they're dotted, it's something that might ought to happen. And when they're red, it's just the opposite. Something bad that's being said, something you shouldn't say, and so forth. And these are just some things that I use to indicate what's going on in the dynamic. The X's are basically reflecting boundaries. Black one's good. Red one's things that we need to get rid of. They're not good. They're inhibiting dynamic. So these are some strategies that I use just to show the dynamic. Now, here's the dynamic for this plan. Let me go over it a little bit. If you look in the center circle, that's the husband and wife of this discussion. They're encircled by a green ring, which indicates that they're under a covenant of marriage that we, I think, hold at a higher standard. But go back to the right, and you'll see that there's a dotted arrow that goes from our participant's mom to her mom. And I think this is the significance and some of the complications here that we need to drill down. So where I am is over here. So this is her mother. This is her adopted father, and he passed away early. Mom remarried. Not a good marriage, even though it was a Christian marriage. This ended in divorce. That happened when she was 10. And there were feelings of rejection. She wasn't accepted by this new father. So there's hurt, injury coming into the mom here, at least from my perspective, all the way down. And then this mother is now living as a single mother. And we need to know what's going on here. These are communications. Are they good ones or bad ones now? Is this guy out of the picture? We don't know the answer to that. But that was someone that she did have a relationship with for a while. Now we're left with her adopting a child. This is her background. Can't ignore that. Who's now 17. In between, there was another adoption when this one was 11. This daughter, too, was adopted. And that failed because of problems in behavior. It was an older child coming in, and it failed, and CPS had to take the child and put it in another home. So there's been a lot. I mean, as I look at this, I quit worrying about her. This is ripping my heart out for her. You see what I'm saying? And so as a result, you know, I'm thinking, no wonder she's struggling here. My gosh, her life has been filled with rejection, with separation, and so forth. So as I start looking at this, I begin to work here. Great, she's got a supporting husband, but it may be some of the problems of being able to deal with the chaos and not find peace is because of some of this background. So
let me say one thing here, is that this is probably one of the more complicated diagrams, maybe the most complicated diagram I've ever seen. But the point of it is that it's pretty unusual. Now, you don't have to do diagrams, okay? If you're not a PowerPoint person, I can just come up here and draw you, you know, in your groups, you may have a blue circle We've got all, every room has a whiteboard, every room has these. The only purpose is not to meet some requirement we have. The requirement is when you're talking about it, just imagine your group before, but if you don't have that, and you can just say all these things, and you're going, holy cow, I don't even know where to begin. If I'd read you that, could you go back and do that? Can you remember what's going on? But on one page, you remember there's several relationships, the second adoption, the interaction with the mom, and it can remind you to do that. When we have people, for example, that are not on the, you know, you're under this thing and they're not on the same page, you know, and they come in and they may be, this is not a yellow, but they're all under God, and there may even be, you know, they may even be in a marriage covenant, right? And they're believers, but they're not on the same page. And they want to go solve all these issues down here in their prodigal, but this every week is staring them in the face. That's their diagram. And until they get on the same page, you just can't go forward, because your kid's going to, you know, you've got a divider there. That those circles have to overlap. And it seems foreign when you first do it, but I can just tell you, I'm just telling you, a year and a half ago when we started this and I went back the back hallway, we had a certain rate of people coming and that same group of people leaving. And Steve's group was full with 10 or 15 people in it all the time, and they're the only ones doing these, because we realize this is hard for you to do. So you don't have to do it. Take a deep breath. But the point is, when you come, if your leader has spent the hour or two going over your open and closed group and helps you to find your chaos, for example, I might do this differently, and Steve and I could talk about it, but there is a bad boundary between the mother and the husband died. But there's a boundary there, but there's also some real bad boundaries between the prodigal. So the point is, it's not that you have to get it perfect. It's just, say, let's all agree with what this looks like and what it means. So now, as you go home, you've got that and your whole group has it, and we'd love to change it going forward, but you got to change those things, or they're always going to stay the same. And otherwise, what we end up doing is talking about it in our closed group, and we don't ever take the ground. So that's the whole purpose of it. We don't know if 10 years from now we'll laugh about the diagrams, right? But we certainly know that it's changed a lot of people and transformed them. Steve, you want to go to that next one real quick?
So this is the second step, and it's looking more specifically at the prodigal, which is the 17-year-old daughter. And so,
I'm sorry, I can't let you talk more than 5 seconds without interrupting you. But this is also for our leaders. We're all learning this. So, for example, if the leaders came up, and so Steve and I have a little different agreement. We didn't want to talk about that. I didn't want to see what he did, right? Because I knew this would come up. So I might put another boundary in there, or a bad boundary. Well, the point is that the whole purpose is that for your leaders come to you and to give you that and say, what do you think about this? Am I right or wrong? Are you on the same page? Are you not? Is there a boundary here? Is that boundary better than I thought? Well, if it is, I'll change it. But we're going to ask you these questions. I'm going to send this back to you. And we send it to the people in your group. And when you come there, your group's going to ask you these kind of questions, so that together you don't get that. That's just the first shot across the bow at what your chaos looks like. This isn't your plan. This is trying to define why you are where you are and what the problem is in your life and how the chaos can be represented. If you understand that, then you can take ground. And you're going to get to that understanding by explaining your position, refining some of those boundaries. This isn't right. This is right. Some of your other people in your group shape that. Is that right, Steve? And these are some of the questions that might be asked. Go ahead.
Usually the first week we look at the family dynamic kind of piece that we just showed you. The next week we stay away from the prodigal during that, because that's what everybody wants to talk about. So then the next week we look at the prodigal, and this describes, you know, special ed, ADD, all the stuff Jay's already been over, the cutting. I did pick this mom put in there, makes me want to move out. I've thought about it, but no, it's not fair to leave Paul, her husband, alone with her. So, I mean, to me, that shows a high level of frustration. And at any rate, this is what we're feeling. This is a picture of the chaos over here. Now then, when you see that, it should bring questions to mind. You've seen two things. You've seen the disruption in the dynamics, and you've seen now what the prodigal is about. And so some of the questions here, and Jay probably has different ones, but I looked at it and I thought, how did removing the adopted daughter from the family affect this child? They're two living together for a while, and now one's gone. Just, I don't know, but a question. Do you feel responsible for daughter one? That's this one. Is your relationship with the Lord dependent on the choices and behavior of this daughter? That's an important question. Are you frustrated by your lack of control of this daughter? I think I should say yes to that, right? If D1 respond to your authority, would everything be okay? She's got 20 boundaries and consequences. So if she followed that, would we be okay? And if that question is no, then you start going, why? And you start digging. What are you?
And if it's yes, you still dig. You still dig.
What are you doing to improve D1's relationship with the Lord? I think that's a big one right there. Because that's when we have to start looking at ourselves and see if we're modeling what that looks like. Okay? So that's how I'm led when we start looking at the prodigal chaos and start looking, pitching that against the dynamics. But you had different ones, I think.
Nope. So I was just going to, you can come on back up. So I think we're good on that. So the leader, I asked the leader, what is your summary of the situation, having led these people for 10 months? And they said that, and again, I asked for them to run the slide past them so that we were all okay, and that as these things been communicated. So they said, and the whole reason we're here is because these aren't people that aren't coming, that don't care, that aren't Christians, that aren't struggling well. I mean, they're just stuck on high center, and they've got a relationship with their leaders that's good. And so it's not some people that are, you know, doing it wrong. They're just in prodigal like all the rest of us, struggling at a certain point. And they said, if I could describe something, it feels like she needs, or they have the heart of a sheriff, but not the heart of a shepherd, which means much like, and this is a good transition. The reason I left it in, I was thinking, is this really more about how to be a sheriff than it is a plan issue? And we're going to talk about how to be a sheriff next week. How do you develop, how do you implement your plan? And saying that basically we've got a lot of boundaries. If you talk about one, let's tie it in with this one right back down here. The heart of a shepherd and shepherd is her boundaries need to shift from, you know, unreasonable or a lot of specific boundaries that are hard to enforce and they're done with anger to more reasonable boundaries with peace. Well, that is the definition of letting us help you work through a plan. Because we've all got unreasonable boundaries done with anger. And if you can switch that to reasonable boundaries in which you have a peace about you, that's the paradigm shift. That's the whole deal right there. That's what we're trying to do. And that they would see the chaos more clearly. And that helps with talking about it and diagramming so they can see that clearly. And then there's some controlling issues. And the main thing is there's never been, as Scott, you mentioned about a plan, There has been no global plan ever put in place. There has been boundaries and consequences, which gets back to her question about, I've got 20 of these things. Do I need 25 and will that do it? Or is it, if I back down to 15, would that do it? And the point is, it's almost impossible. It's not about the number of boundaries. It's about having a comprehensive plan processed in community. Because the biggest issue is she wants peace. And we're going to see in the next one how that was accomplished in another case study. We're going to have to do that quickly. So in the time, I'm just going to stop right there and go back to the questions she wanted. And I think her husband has the same questions answered. So any thoughts about from the audience or comments based on what we've talked about today in terms of anything? If not, I'll throw some in there. Yeah, Scott?
I think we need to break it down to simple. two or three, and then at each week ask if they've taken round one, two, or three, and maybe modify those.
Okay, so the thought was to break down two or three things. I think that's certainly, I'd like to go back and look at, if I was involved in this, what my, and I think we owe them something because they've been vulnerable. It's hard to sit back. I don't even know who they are or where they are, right? But I know it would be hard for me to sit in this room going, oh my God, this is crazy, right? And so, but I just want you to know, if you're sitting out there, everybody in this room understands where you're coming from. It's just a chaotic mess, and you get frustrated, and you want to leave your husband with the prodigal. I get it, or your wife. So what I would say is the big issue that I see is that you've been here 10 months, and we have put out fires with a boundary over here and a consequence over here, and something changes. And I don't know what those specifics are. But one of the things I would tell you is when you're coming up with a plan is we haven't even talked about a plan tonight. We're trying to find what the chaos is. And so what I would do is the reason I brought up, I don't know what they are, but I'm going to give you some possibilities. If I was sitting down and working with this couple going forward, I think in the sake of time, I'm going to throw some things out. I want my leaders or any of you guys to throw it back in. But what I would say is that the things that I'd want to explore are, your fears, there is some real, it seems to me that the peace is tied with the prodigal doing exactly what the parents want them to do. And let me just tell you, that is prodigal 101 on the first night. That is impossible. You're going to never be at peace. You got to find peace outside your circumstances. If circumstances determine your peace, it's time for another cycle through prodigal, right? Because we missed it the first time. And so you just can't tie your peace to the actions of another person. It's impossible. The only way you can get peace is to tie it to God. Once you get that, it gives you the power to put a plan in place. And you can't put a plan in place is, it's like you can't go to a different trainer one time a month for 12 months and get any kind of a formal physical improvement. You're going to have a global plan that goes over, and you need to sit down on this one and figure out with your leaders something that, you know, ask all these questions about how you're doing. Is the peace that you can't have, is that because you didn't get it at prodigal the first time around, or is it because you've got so much baggage that you've never dealt with, just like your prodigal? Now, I'm sorry you're out there, but the point is that it seems obvious to anybody who sees this. You've been through a lot, and it might be a time to go to regen, to figure out what's going on in your life and to sort through the issues so that you could learn, you could be forgiven and forgive others so that you could learn how to find your peace yourself. I think that's a big part of this issue. I do. And I'm getting a lot of head nods out there, so I may not be too far off. At least that's something I would sit you down and explore with you. And then, so you've got to make sure that you don't have any baggage so you can deal with it appropriately. And that's just hard work. And then the second thing is I would go back in with my community group leaders and your community group and really commit to going through all those specific 20 boundaries. Because I will tell you this, how do you develop a plan in continual changing circumstances? Guess what? Everybody has continually changing circumstances. And if you get a good plan, it will deal with all those things. The reason you're jumping around is you don't have a global plan that's processed with people who've been there. That's why we're here. Okay? It seems crazy, but it's the only way, it's the only joy I get, it's the best joy I get in life, is to, and all of our leaders say that, okay? We're busy, right? Got it. You're not bothering us. You know, we're not doing this for any other reason than we'd like to help you. And we've been there, and we've seen the mistakes you make, and you need help making these plans because your prodigals are wiser than all of us. We got to. It takes a village to get out ahead of them. So I take all those 20 things, and eliminate 16 of them, and make four simple things that work in a comprehensive plan. And I bet you're out there going, "You have no idea. It's impossible." Well, I'd sure like a shot at it, because most of the time we can do that. Is that anybody in the sake of time that I missed anything? You can, if you get your issues in your life worked out where you know that God's good and you can trust him and you don't have to worry about, you worry about it, but you know you're not in control of the suicide. You're not in control of the cutting. You're not in control of those fears that you were worried about, gaining weight and dating the wrong person and running out of money. If you do this right, you won't have to worry about running out of money at all, okay? And I know that sounds crazy, but one global plan will take care of that. If there's something I'm missing, let me know. I'm trying to get to the next one real quick, but yeah, Annie?
Any plan needs a goal, and we haven't defined for her or for her, herself, the goal is for she and a husband, for her, and what's the goal for the child? And the boundaries and consequences have to be appropriate to meet the goal.
Right. Well, I will say that the mission statement would be one that you would all be proud of. It's to glorify God and to be a Proverbs 31 wife and have a great marriage and all that. That's exactly right. So I'm saying that the mission statement, there is the appropriate rudder. There's a lot to be hopeful here. We're not dealing with people who don't have a hope in Christ. But the goal, I would say the goal would be defined, if they were honestly, I'm reading this, the goal would be for her not to cut, not to gain weight, not to watch Netflix every, 24/7. The goal, I think, at least at some point during this journey, that would be the goal, for her to come to her senses. Well, that's not what the plan's about. The plan may cause that, but the plan is for her and her husband to find that peace. But it's not going to come. I get the sense that we wish we'd taken more ground, and I worry that the peace is coming because their prodigal hadn't taken more ground in 10 months. And so I just think that, those are the issues I'd discuss. Is there any, yeah, Larry? Yeah.
It might seem obvious, but I think they've got to engage. The mom seems really equipped to do that.
Okay, so for the summary, if we're recording this, if I can try to summarize that, Larry was saying that the mom's in a unique position. If she can get a handle on where she's been, she would be uniquely, crazy uniquely equipped to be able to minister to her daughter in a way that no one else could, because she's been through a lot of the same things. And for her, and I do believe that's true. That's why it's a 20-week curriculum, right? Anger will kill any kind of progress in this issue. And it seems like there's a lot of that going on. There's just frustration and anger and whatever. So I would say that, there's a lot of things in terms of taking away cell phones to go to church. Things I used to pay my son to do the journey, $1 a day. Okay, so takes one to know one, right? Let me tell you how that turned out. So the point is, I get it, but those kind of things, I think that if the mom, as Larry was saying, could take over the forcing to go to church or Bible studies or mission trip and model it with regard to not being angry, saying, you know how much I love you. You're doing some crazy things, but I'm going to trust God to let you go do that, knowing that he's good, and I'm going to show you what my faith looks like rather than just be angry because you're not doing it. That's a totally different look. Yeah, Hugh. Right.
You know, the biblical model is for us to seek reconciliation, but sometimes that takes boundaries and separation and let them own the chaos they created.
And I would say that, you know, Hugh was saying we want to, if you hadn't heard that over there, he wants, the goal would be reconciliation. And I would say the only reconciliation, one of the goals would be reconciling with our prodigals. That's what we'd all love to have one day, but we can't control that. That would be a goal, but it's a secondary goal, I think. I think the goal we can do is a reconciliation with God. And we can control that because he's been waiting on us our whole life. And all we have to do is just realize he loves us. In the midst of all this, if those parents could realize he's still good and he loves you and he's waiting. Because what they've done, I sense, is they've gone to church their whole life just like I have. I mean, not... Well, most of my life, but I wasn't ready to run the plays. I knew the rule book, and I read it, but God asks you in prodigal to go run the plays, and what I fear is they just are afraid to walk on that field, and so, but again, takes one to know one. Right.
Otherwise, if we put that on her before she herself has had some experience with healing,
right,
we've just dumped another guilt trip on her. We need to challenge her to solve her own issues. And then as you said, regen, if necessary, hand it off to the dad for a while and deal with your issues so that you're capable of entering into the
okay, I do. So just to summarize that, she was just emphasizing what Larry had said, is that the reconciliation, she's in a great position, but again, we're setting her up for failure if she goes, tries to minister to her daughter before she's ministered to, before she either forgives or lets go of the anger or the guilt or whatever that is. And so that's why, again, it's tied in perfectly with a marketing campaign to get you to come back around the next time. But the point is that that's why you start with hope and you work through having a purpose and a mission statement. And how do you deal with anger and forgiveness and guilt and prayer and the Holy Spirit and go all those things. And it builds up to then boundaries and consequences, laying your Isaac down and being the new sheriff. And so I can just tell you, Craig Ross will listen to this up in Denton one day. And I just still remember, you know, him being in Jenny's group. Wonderful Christian man, two young boys spinning out of control, knowing, didn't have a clue what he needed to do when he got here. Maybe a year into it, he figured out he needed to do it. And then once he figured out he needed to do it, he realized he was an enabler, called it every week and said, I know what I need to do, but I just can't do it. And 2 to 2.5 years into there, something happened and he changed and he finally got it. And he became one of the most incredible transformational stories. And he's a leader and now leading prodigal up at the village. You know, so there's no timetable. For the couple out there, we all get it. You know, just keep showing up. And I hope some of these things have helped. I think in the time we have here, I just want to close with one thing. I just want to show you one Steve, I told you we'd play it by ear, but what I'd like for you to do, if I can, is just, we had a couple, I wasn't here 2 weeks ago, just to remind them as I'm getting this slide up, I just want you to show where they are right now in that last slide, but remind them who we were talking about, because I wasn't here, and we could go to that last slide and show you somebody that's done that.
Well, 2 weeks ago, the Rogers were sitting to my right, and were talking about their son, who's over 18. They had two young daughters in their family. He spun out of control, and it was a situation where he hadn't finished high school, and it was also at a pivotal point in their marriage where the husband was the enabler. The biologic mom of the prodigal was saying, I can't do this anymore. You either need to take the prodigal and go, and I'll take the girls, or what? And the husband wisely said, no, we're staying here. He's going. And so what happened was there's a real hard time of being putting your child out, largely to protect the younger ones in the home, and at the same time knowing that the behavior wasn't under their control. But I think they really felt like it should be under their control. And so the struggle then that we went through in the group was he disappeared from his sober living, and he was out on the street, and they were tracking his iPhone and trying to figure out where he was and what to do. And you could just feel the pain, all that going on, and just continued encouragement. And, you know, what if the police call? What if the hospital calls? What are you going to do? And the what-if questions. And they kept preparing themselves. And then he went back to sober living, stayed there for quite a while. And then we were dealing with what if, what if this fails? And then it did fail. And he then ended up sober living in Florida. And then he got kind of had a little hiccup there. And it went to, I guess you'd call it, a halfway house in California, where you're living among other men and leaders, but you're free to do. You're free to move. And that's where he is now. And the most recent thing was... he called home and asked, hey, what do you think? I'm doing pretty good. Thinking about a ski trip to Colorado. And so the group was chuckling. Yeah, Colorado, that's perfect. A little pot, take your friends, be a good time. This is where you need to. And they handled it. They were giggling and, you know, obviously telling him they thought that was a poor choice, but he's on his own. But what you see is a couple who are just doing great. They're at peace, they've been at peace, and they're an inspiration. But it took this constant work, and they were diligent all the way through, holding tight against a lot of pain. And but nevertheless, at the end of the day, their prodigal is doing better. Who knows? He's, you know, may do great, he may not, but they're doing great, and their girls are doing great. And so that, to me, is the win that we can hope for, because that's the one we can control.
So I wanted to say that's possible, but I wanted to just point out one thing real quick, and we're going to close and get to our closed groups. But what this tells me is that you've got a husband and wife on the same page in a covenant relationship under God with two kids in the house they need to protect. There's some things that need to be said to the grandparents so there's not peripheral enablement, and they've got a good boundary between them and their son. Their son's not walking with God, but they can't control it, so they're going to pray about it. And to me, that's their whole issue right there, and that's all they can do. They can't make this go to there. They've created a recovery environment that looks different than the one that was there when Kyle was living in this house. And all these things that are happening, running away from sober living, pursuing drugs, that's exactly what the prior mom was talking about, with all the things shifting and moving and whatever, but they got a plan that accommodates for all that. So the one thing I want to make sure that we know is that we're not saying up here that for the parents out there in the first story, that these parents are better or worse. They're just in a different place along the way. It's meant for encouragement, that it's possible. It can happen. There can be a plan with appropriate boundaries. And you can have control of your situation regardless of what your prodigal's doing if the proper boundaries are set between those two. So this is where the work is done. There's some, I guarantee you, if the parents are here, they got a pit in their stomach tonight several times. Well, you know what? I had 1,000 of them on my journey. Still have them. You know, not as frequently, but I have them. And it's that text you get in the middle of the night or something that still goes on in my life. So we get it. So I hope this helps you. Our goal is that you don't have to do this. We just want to get it in front of you to try to present your chaos. You help us say, yep, this is my chaos. And then we go to work getting a plan for you. And then next week, we're going to talk about when you're ready for that plan, how you deliver it and be the new sheriff in town. So I'm going to close this in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for the way you move and shape all of our lives. I thank you that you are never moving. You have never left us. You're right there waiting for us with open arms, and that we're your children, that you know the struggle. You know that we want to give our prodigals away at nights sometimes. The thoughts we think in the middle of the chaos, we believe, but help our unbelief. Give us some rest. And you know all of those emotions. And if we'll just keep doing the work and run your plays, live it in community, bathe it in prayer, that you're right there. You know everything about us. You've known it from eternity past to eternity future. Help us to find our peace, not in our circumstances and not in solving our troubles, but to just find our peace in you. In Christ's name we pray, amen.